Amen. All right, here we go. Malachi chapter 3, starting in verse 7. Said, yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Have you seen all through from chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to here, this has been the story. Malachi, the man of God, the prophet of God, the oracle speaker of God, says to the people, you've done this. And they say, well, how have we done that? And he says, well, this way and that. And so here it is again. From the days of your fathers, you've gone away from me, and from my ordinances have not kept them. Return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, in what way shall we return? Listen, God's patience with us seems endless.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen? God's patience with us just seems endless. And throughout history, His people have disobeyed. They've scorned His laws, but He has always been willing to accept them back. Isn't that amazing? How many of you have just blown it so bad?
How many times?
How many times?
Yeah.
And yet God welcomes us back. I'm so grateful that the Scripture says that His mercies are new every morning. Here, however, the people have the nerve to imply that they never even disobeyed. Well, I mean, can you just see them? In what way?
Now guy says, how much time do you have?
Yeah. We never even disobey. I mean, how can we return when we've never gone away? That's what they're saying here. Many people have turned their backs on forgiveness and on restoration because they refuse to admit their sin. I'm not doing anything wrong. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Listen, don't follow their example. God is ready to return to us if we're willing to return to Him. From the days of the patriarchs until Malachi's time, the nation frequently disobeyed God's word, and God had to send prophets to call them to repent and to return. And when the people heard Malachi call them to return to the Lord instead of obeying the call, oh my gosh, they begin to argue with the servant of God. I don't know about you guys, but I can talk about me. And how many times would it have just been easier for me to just agree with my dad? Nope. Gotta argue. They kind of remind me of those people who evade the issue by saying, well, define your terms. And what do you mean? What do you mean by return? I mean, what's the definition of if? We've never heard that before.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, they're just grasping for straws. Malachi doesn't even hesitate to tell them how to start returning to God. He says, listen, bring God the tithe and the offerings that are rightfully His. That's a good place to start. I love the way this reads in the Message Bible. I don't stray too far away from the New King James, but I do look a lot of different translations of the Bible, and when I read this, I really like it, and this is what the Message Bible says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Remembering that the question was in what way should we return? And here he begins to answer. He says, well, to start with, by being honest. Do honest people rob God, but you rob me day after day? You ask, how have we robbed you? Well, the tithes and the offering, that's how. I mean, that's pretty plain. That's pretty plain. There was the sin of robbery in about three different areas. But I want to look at these two verses together, Malachi 3, 7 and 8. Yet from the days of your father you have gone away from my ordinance, but you have not kept them. Return to me and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? And he says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? Well, the answer is in tithes and offerings. See, the needs of the priests and the Levites were met from the sacrifices and also from the tithes and the offerings brought to the temple by the people. How many of you realize that the Levites, the priests, they did not get an inheritance? They didn't get an inheritance. So what they had to live off of was the offerings and the tithes that came in, a portion of that. How many of you know what the word tithe means? It means ten. It's the word tithe comes from a Hebrew word that means ten. The tithe is 10%, listen, of one's grain, fruit, animals, or money. You can reference it in Leviticus chapter 27. Verses 30 through 34, you can look at Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse 5. There were special storage rooms in the temple for keeping the grain, the produce, and the money that people brought to the Lord in obedience to His law. See, I think one of the fundamental things that we have to get our mind wrapped around is this idea of the tithes and the offerings is an act of obedience. It's an act of love. It's an act of worship. People want to argue with you today and say, well, you know what? You can't show me in the New Testament where it says that I am commanded to pay tithe. And you know what you say to that? You're right. You're right. But can I just submit to you tonight that the tithe, even though it became part of the law, it was started way back, but way before that. Abraham paid a tithe to Melchizedek. That was way before Moses got the law. We'll talk about that in a minute. I need to just move on. Otherwise, they'll be putting pictures of rabbits.
It's 1% for each commandment.
Is that what it is? All right. All right. Squirrel, yeah. Rabbit trails, squirrels. Anyway, there were special rooms and it was an act of obedience to the Lord. Tithing as an act of worship, and here we go, is as old as Abraham who gave tithe to Melchizedek, according that Melchizedek was the representative of the Most High God. What does it say about Melchizedek? Had no beginning, he had no end, he had no lineage, he had no mother, no father. It's really talking about, I think, behind the scenes, a referral to God or to Jesus. Jacob vowed to God that he would tithe in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 22, so tithing antedates the laws of Moses. It's before the law of Moses. And so for people to grasp it at, well, it doesn't specifically say in the New Testament the word of tithe. The reality is Paul makes the case that, you know, I mean, give it all. Right? And so, you know, if you really want to argue, there's things we can argue about. But tithing was officially incorporated into the law of Moses as part of Israel's worship. So in bringing the tithes and the offerings, the people were not only supporting the ministry of the temple, but they were also giving thanks to God for His bountiful provision for their own needs. So since God made everything and owns everything, He doesn't need anything that we can bring Him. So that the act of us giving our tithe and offerings back to God, it ain't like He needs it. He doesn't need it, and it's not like we're just paying some bill. When we obey His word and bring our gifts as an act of worship with grateful hearts, it pleases Him. Now listen, there's no place that I've ever seen the offering taken that stirred me more than when Tammy and I was in Nigeria. When we were with Brother Thomas and did the camp meeting down there for him in Nigeria, and when they take the offering, wow! It is an amazing thing. They've got these offering boxes, one on each side, and they're rather large boxes, and they're ornate and whatnot, but they just open them up, and the people just come from everywhere, and they dance. I mean dance. Men, women, kids, everybody, and they put their offering, I mean, they just are worshiping the Lord in their giving. It's no wonder they're so blessed. It's no wonder they see the hand of God so much more than we do in America. Because in America, we see it as paying a bill. I think oftentimes. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 in the first two verses, while it suggests proportionate giving, he said in there, it says, as God has prospered him, There's no express command to tithe given to the church of the New Testament. And Paul preaches grace giving in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, which is certainly beyond 10%. Amen? It's way beyond. You know, the implication is there that if you see a need and you can meet it, meet the need. I mean, that's just what it says. And so many Christians feel that if believers under the old covenant brought their tithe, how could Christians under the new covenant begin with anything less than the tithe? And I'll take it a step further because I don't think that we throw the Old Testament out just because we're New Testament church. And so what we did in the Old Testament, I think we ought to carry it on. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, all you're going to do is get blessed by God. Because listen, when Malachi ended and Matthew started, he didn't the deal with prove me now herewith, saith the Lord in Malachi, that didn't stop right there. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to read the first five verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you by the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. Stop just for a cotton-picking minute. Did you even hear what he just said? We make known to you by the grace of God bestowed on the church of Macedonia that in a great trial, they are under a great trial, they are being afflicted, but the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. Verse 3, for I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability. They were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints, not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Do you understand what they're saying right there? That we're talking about some very poor people. They were impoverished. They were under trials of affliction. And they gave beyond what they had. It reminds me of the widow's mite. It reminds me of the Pharisees and the Sadducees with you know, money hanging out their pockets, basically. And they put in some. And then the little widow woman brings her two little mites and put in. And Jesus said, Hey, she outgive you all. Well, how can that be? Well, because you gave out of your abundance, she gave out of her lack. There's a huge difference. The churches in Macedonia and Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea had given money, even though they were poor, and they had sacrificially given more than Paul even expected. Although they were poor themselves, they wanted to help. The amount we give, boy, the amount we give is not nearly as important as why and how we give. The amount we give is not nearly as important as why we give or how we give. God doesn't want us to give grudgingly. If you're going to be hacked off about having to give money, and you know the preacher's guys, I always just wants our money. Well, listen, if that's your attitude, do yourself a favor and keep it. Because it's not going to bring any blessing to you because of the attitude of your heart. God doesn't want us to give grudgingly. Instead, He wants us to give as these churches did, out of dedication to Christ, out of love for fellow believers, the joy of helping those in need, as well as the fact that it was simply the good and the right thing to do. I'm so thankful tonight that God has blessed Tammy and I with some stuff, with some things. And I was talking to Mike on the phone the other day, Mike Young, and we were talking about the cars and stuff that God just brought our way, and we was able to give them to people and bless them. And there was a family in the church, and they needed a vehicle so bad. And we had a Volvo station wagon. One of them kind of burnt orange rust looking, you know what I'm talking about, color. And it was this Volvo station wagon, pretty nice car actually. I mean, the commercial says that nobody dies in a crash in a Volvo. And so, we have this Volvo car, runs like a top. Everything was great. And so, Mike and I call this couple up and we say, listen, man, God just wants to bless you. I want you guys to come up here. I got something for you. I want you to come up here. And so they come up to my house and we had it all cleaned up, washed up. I mean, it was, you know, shining like a diamond in a goat's ear. You know what I mean? It was like, bam, this is it. This is your car right here. And they say, the guy starts walking around the car. I mean, he's looking, you know, thumping the tires. I mean, he's walking around the car.
It gets worse.
And he says, you know, this isn't exactly what we was looking for.
Oh my goodness.
We're looking for something a little.
Oh my God.
I'm like, are you kidding me? It's free.
Right.
All you gotta do is drive it off. It's free.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, we'll just give that to somebody else. See you later.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
What?
We've bought eyeglasses for people. We've God has blessed us to where we've been able to just do so many things. And even though maybe you don't see the return on that moment or the next day, I am here to tell you tonight that God does bless you back. You'll never outgive God. Not never ever. Yeah, that ain't quite what we're looking for. All righty then. Yeah. Incredible. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you know what you want. I'd have took that car and traded it in on what I wanted, amen. I mean, glory to God. I'd be like, it's got to be worth $10 anyhow. It ran. Listen, the implication of the Lord's response was clear. In certain, in simple terms, the people could return to Him by repenting and by faithfully obeying His Word. See, repentance means heeding all of the commandments and instructions. And as an example, God pointed to one specific and very serious sin of which they needed to repent. They were robbing God of tithes and offerings. Listen, it don't get much more serious than that. You can rob from me, you can rob from your neighbor, but when you start robbing from God, you're in big trouble. It will come back and bite you. Very well spoken. And again, the people ask how. They wanted to know specifically how they are cheating God. And once more, the Lord answered, they were not tithing. Some of the people weren't tithing at all, while others were tithing too little or they were tithing begrudgingly. Listen, people have asked me, do I have to pay the whole tithe?
Okay.
Pretty much. It's a tithe.
Yeah.
And folks, we have to understand there's a difference between the tithe and offerings.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, isn't it enough for me to give my tithe? Well, that does bring about obedience. I mean, you are being obedient, and if you're doing it out of an act of love and out of worship to God, then, you know, that's good, but what's He done for you? How many times has He blessed you above what you deserve? Well, that narrows it right down. The blessings... Hey, I'll do the preaching. I'll do the preaching. The blessing comes... As Tammy has so eloquently spoken. Through the offering. That's where the blessing really comes. Now listen, don't get me wrong. You're going to get blessed because you're obedient in the tithe. Don't get me wrong. God's going to bless that. But the abundant blessing comes through the offerings. In either case, there was obviously a serious problem with what? The people's attitude. So by not offering sufficient tithe, by not giving the Lord His due, the people were guilty. I want to just list off a few things that I think that they were guilty of, all right? The people were guilty of these additional sins. They were selfish and greedy. They were selfish and this one's gonna hurt right here. They were not trusting the Lord to provide for them, feeling that they could not give and still have enough for themselves. The people weren't giving their best. Which is a whole nother topic. And they were withholding that for themselves. You want a New Testament example?
Come on. Money.
How about Ananias and Sapphira?
Yeah. All they had to do was tell the truth.
All they had to do was tell the truth. All that they had was theirs, right? It was already theirs. They didn't have to do that. They could have said, hey, we sold this piece of property and we sold it for this much and we're keeping this much and we're giving you this much. No problem. But they lied. They lied and they were selfish and they robbed God. It's betrayal. The people were they were not trusting the Lord to provide for them. They feeling that they could not give and still have enough for themselves. They weren't giving their best, they were withholding for themselves. How about this one? The people were giving begrudgingly or half-heartedly. You ever ask somebody to do something for you and they're like, "Man, all right." Whatever. I'll pick you up at 6. I ain't going to be happy about it, but I'll be there. Just stay home, dude. Right? Just stay home. They had no sincere desire to give or to serve the Lord, but rather only to fulfill their obligation. See, the people, another thing is they were ungrateful for what the Lord had given them and were unwilling to return anything to the Lord. How about this? The people failed to realize that all that they had already belonged to the Lord because everything they owned had been given to them by Him. You know, I drive log truck for an outfit and I can go to any parts store that I want and buy whatever I need for my truck. Do you know how easy it is to spend somebody else's money?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know how easy it is to spend somebody else's money? Do you know how easy it ought to...
Would you go sit by your friend and straighten her out back there?
Do you know how easy it should be for us to just give back something that's not ours anyway to whoever's it is? It'd be like me coming and borrowing something from Bob, and Bob's like, "Yeah, I kind of like to have that back. Too bad." I just can't.
I'm a pressure washer.
I traded that sucker in for a good one. Hallelujah. Do you see the implication? It God already owns it all anyway. Why do we have such a problem with giving it back to Him? I just don't understand it. Look at verse 9. Yes.
Does that mean you'll get that pressure washer back?
He's had that sucker back for a long time. You want your excavator back, Glenda?
She's like, "The sucker still has an excavator too."
Malachi chapter 3 and verse 9, look at what it says. Don't even put it up there, Steve. Because it ain't no fun. Let me back up just a minute. Hey. My Lord. Go, brother. You go. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me, but you say, in what way we robbed you? In tithes and in offerings. Verse 9. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You can put it up there, Steve. I was just horsing around. So I'm going to ask you this question. What does that say? Besides the words that are up there, what is being said? Okay? She said the whole nation needs to repent. What else is that saying? I mean, it's blatant. What's that? But why? So if we're not paying tithes and are and giving offerings, we're under a curse. Now, as Christians, we have a problem with that because I'm a child of God. Yes, you are a child of God. Well, how can I be a child of God and be under a curse? Well, it's as simple as doing the right thing.
If you're robbing, you're a thief.
If you're robbing, you're a thief. And this says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. I mean, that's hard for us, church, to understand. That is hard for us to wrap our little pea brains around because we don't want to think that we're cursed as children of God. I'm just telling you what His Word says.
Mm-hmm. But God also knows everything we have, what we have in abundance and what we lack.
Yeah. Yeah, He does. And that's no excuse. I'm just saying. I'm not being ugly. I'm just saying that is absolutely no excuse. And I'll tell you why it's no excuse. Because if we can't trust God when we don't have enough, what's the point in trusting Him at all? Because when should we trust Him the most? When we don't have enough. When we don't have it. You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. And the crazy thing about this verse here is that even as children of God, we can be under a curse. How do I get out from under the curse? You get out from under the curse by repenting and by doing what's right. I mean, it's... I don't mean to imply... I mean, but it's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. In robbing God, the people weren't fulfilling the covenant that they'd made with the Lord. Therefore, God couldn't fulfill His promise and bless them. Let me say that again. In robbing God, the people were not fulfilling the covenant which they had made with the Lord. Therefore, God could not fulfill His promise to bless them. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 3 and verse 4. If you walk in My statutes and keep My commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. What does that verse start out with? If. So by putting that two-letter word there, it speaks of implication. There's an implication there. If you do this. If you go over to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 8, this is what it says. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and He will bless you in the land. You know what that's from? That's from obedience. Understand that insects had invaded the land and the grain and the fruit were not maturing. You need to write this down. Whenever we rob God, we always rob ourselves. We not only do we rob ourselves, but we invoke... Pardon me? The curse. We invoke curses on our life. And we have to understand that. To begin with, we rob ourselves of the spiritual blessings that always accompany obedience and faithful giving. You can go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15, and read all about it. I don't have time here tonight to do that. But even more, the money that rightfully belongs to God, that we keep for ourselves, never stays with us. It never stays with us. You can't hold on to it. It's like trying to hold on to a handful of ice cubes. It just kind of runs through your fingers.
I have a question.
There's gold in the bag.
I'll get there.
I have a question.
Sir.
Do tithing not apply for those that you help to? Whether you give them food or money or
this? No. Nope. It doesn't. See, that's an offering. That's an offering. That's being a blessing to somebody. God made it very specific in Malachi 3, and we'll get there, not tonight, but we'll get there. He says to bring it to the storehouse. Right. Now, when we bring it to the storehouse, if the storehouse says, hey, you have a need, we're going to help you meet that need.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it could be money that was a tithe of somebody. So you see, you understand how that works?
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, it has to be out of an offering, not God's tithe.
So, yeah, I just got those mixed up a little bit.
And oftentimes, folks want to purchase things for the church or for the pastor or whatever, and those things, they want that to count as their tithe, and it does not count. That is not their tithe. That's an offering. That's being a blessing to the church, being a blessing to the pastor, being a it's not the tithe. I mean, we've heard it a lot. Well, we're not going to bring our tithe. We're going to just do that. Well, but that's not the tithe.
Offer the tithe for
give up the tithe.
Yeah.
So,
okay, what you just said. They want to give this, but not a. So how come they don't understand that?
I don't know.
The tenth of what?
I think they understand. They just want. They do understand that
they
want to
do it their way.
Oftentimes.
Uh-huh. See, I was misled by somebody told me that you're doing something with somebody else. That's part of your tithe.
Yeah,
so now I'm going to
try. Yeah. Well, and you can use Malachi chapter 3 to do it, and do it in a loving way. Don't just say, hey, let me tell you something, pal. You know, because listen, a brother won is better than winning an entire city. That's in Proverbs. It talks about that.
Yeah.
So when you do that, if you do that, do it in love and compassion. So you remember the conversation that we had? Let me just show you what God's Word says. And God's Word says to bring all the tithe to the storehouse.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and it can go from there, and it can be an inroad to minister to whoever it is. So always have that in mind.
Thank you for
you bet. Yeah, the money that rightfully belongs to God that we keep for ourselves never stays with us. It ends up going to the doctor.
Yeah.
It ends up going to the auto body shop.
Yeah.
It ends up going to the tax collector.
Yeah.
It ends up getting scattered down the street somewhere because you're, like Tammy said, you're stuffing your money in a bag that has a hole in it.
Mm-hmm.
Haggai chapter 1 and verse 6 says this. You've sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into bags with holes. See, listen, here's the bottom line. If we don't trust God to care for us, and this Somebody said something about this a while ago, but and this is the answer. If we don't trust God to care for us, whatever we do trust will prove futile. Because you're going to trust something. You're going to put your trust into something. You're either going to put your trust in God, or you're going to probably put your trust in your own wise ability to govern your money and blah, blah, blah. And I'm telling you, that dog won't hunt. That is just not going to work out. People who lovingly give tithe and offering to God find that whatever is left over goes much farther and brings much greater blessings. It just always does. It just always does. Yes, giving is an act of faith. But God rewards that faith in every way. Again, we go back to the New Testament, and the New Testament says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so when you get your paycheck, this is why I encourage this. When you get your paycheck, don't do your bills. And when you're done with the bills, give God the tithe. Don't do that. Make God first.
Yes.
When that dude comes in, it's for $400. Well, $40 of that, before anything else gets done, is going straight to God.
Yes.
And then with whatever you have left over, that's what you begin to pay the other things with. And we've seen it, and I know multiple other ones of you have seen that when you give first to God, He says, bring me the first fruits. Not what's left. I illustrate this on a Sunday morning sometimes by eating an apple. And I talk about the light bill and the gas bill and the tire bill and the house payment and the car payment. And by the time you're done, all I have left is the core, and that's what we give God. And that's not very attractive to God. People who lovingly give tithes and offering to God find that whatever's left over goes much farther and brings much greater blessing. It's an act of faith. But God rewards that faith in every way. That isn't the reason we give, because that kind of motivation would be selfish. Listen, we got some log haulers in the house. People that have worked in the woods. We know what a laterno is.
Okay.
A laterno is a huge machine that unloads our trucks. Well, the guy that designed those, his name is R.G. Laterno. R.G. Laterno made this statement: if you give because it pays, it won't pay. Little fun fact about R.G. Laterno. When he got saved, later in life, he got saved and his pastor taught him the importance of tithing. And he tithes on not only his personal income, but he tithed on the business. And as he began to tithe, God began to bless him. And as God began to bless him, he began to increase the tithe. And every time he increased the tithe, God increased the blessing. And when that man died, he was given 90% of his money to the work of the Lord and running everything else on 10%. It completely reversed. It's an amazing thing. Pardon me? It's a principle, yes. See, we give because we love God and we want to obey Him. And because He's very generous to us. Listen, if God never gave you another red cent, I'm telling you, He's been gracious to you.
Okay.
He's been generous to you. He's given you and I life. He's
Amen.
Given us blessings.
Yes.
He, look at it. He's given us health.
Yes.
We're sucking air. Pardon me? He's given us heaven. Listen. When we, speaking of heaven, When we lay up treasure in heaven, it pays dividends for all eternity. Amen? I'm going to get you out of here right now. We just kind of laid some groundwork for this tonight. It's going to get much deeper and you know, you could look at it as maybe much heavier, but the reality is it's going to be very freeing to us when we understand the principle of tithes and offerings. Amen? Amen. Father God, I love these people. Father God, I love the way you have blessed my life. And I love the way, oh God, that you have blessed this little congregation. God, we're doing things that big churches aren't doing, God. And we're doing it because we love you and we trust you with our life. We trust you with our resources. Lord, I pray tonight, God, for those that are here tonight, that you, that have to get up early in the morning, that you'll bless their sleep. God, that you would increase their sleep, Lord Jesus. God, that you would add to them. Lord, for those that may be here tonight that have just realized, hey, maybe I have a curse on my life. Lord, give them the faith and build their faith to be able to walk in the blessings of God, to begin to do what's right. We can't do anything about yesterday, but we can start today and do the right thing. So God, give them faith to be obedient to you, Lord. I pray for this church as we begin this project down the street, Lord. God, that because of the faithfulness and the obedience of your people, God, that building down there that's going to be a glorious house, a glorious hospital for the sick, for the those that need Jesus, God. It's going to glorify God, Lord, because of the faithfulness of your people. In Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you. God go with you.